Welcome to the village. Down with the village, bro.
It's your man KJ. We are live. Angie, baby, how you doing?
I'm wonderful.
That's what's up, sis. We're glad to have you back. You know, we be missing you when you're not here because I'm like, she brings the thunder. So glad to have you in the village today, sis. You know, we love you. So we got a lot of topics to discuss today.
I'm excited about these topics.
Yeah, we got a whole lot of topics, man. But other than that, you know, let's not delay this anymore. Let's just jump into these topics. Let's get it going.
Let's do it.
You know, this very first one that I want to talk about first, I'm going to wait a few minutes here. But what I do want to discuss first is this possibility of the Black Panther movie being boycotted. And it's not being boycotted for a reason that you think. It's being boycotted because Michael B. Jordan, he is an actor in the movie. He's not dating a black woman. He's not dating a sister, as they were going to say, right? And so there are many people that are angry that he's dating a non-black woman. And there have been some calls for protest. So I'm going to throw it to you first. What are your thoughts about the possibility of protesting this movie on this reason?
So this is like hard for me because I am a Latino woman. Mm-hmm. but of course I understand the history in the black community of black men talking negatively about black women. Mm-hmm. And saying that they wouldn't date a black woman because of X, Y, and Z reasons. And it's been disempowering to black women, and black women have felt like, you know, they have lesser pickings of men because these men date outside the race. So, yeah, that's very frustrating, and it's sad because of the negative stigmas within the black community and how black women have been portrayed. People could do whatever they want. But for me personally, one, couldn't care less because I these are big companies anyways. And I'm sure these companies don't give a fuck about the black community or any community. So... But I do know that Black Panther will be probably most likely empowering to kids of color to see themselves portrayed as on a screen as heroes, you know, and villains, but more heroes. Mm-hmm. And that's really empowering. But I think to boycott on the basis of a man dating a Latino woman is, of course, disheartening to me because, like, I think it's, after a while, it's like, okay, well, I mean, we're just going to keep on dividing, like, because of this. Are we going to keep on, I mean, why are we doing this? Like, what does that fix? How does that fix a situation? Mm-hmm. When you're protesting against someone because they're dating a certain type of person? Like, that should, you know, like, and that's with anything. Like, I mean, this is why celebrities are afraid to, you know, have their personal lives out there, because, mm-hmm. you know, what if he said he was gay? You know, this probably would have caused another, like, boycott, you know, even if he was dating a black man. You know, like, what, like, we, I don't understand, like, these, I don't see what this is.
Yeah, and I agree with you on that.
How this is beneficial.
Exactly, and my thought process coming into this, I literally was like, you know, I remember when, 12 Years a Slave, and all the issues that came out with the director of that movie. And it seems like whenever there's a black movie, somehow, some way, there's always some kind of controversy wrapped up in the film. And that's, to me, that's by design, because they don't mm-hmm. want this movie to be successful. I get that.
Oh yeah.
You know, they don't want this movie to be successful. We're talking about literally a all black starring cast. Main characters mm-hmm. are black. It's hard for some people to swallow. And think about it in retrospect to this. It was hard for people to swallow Wonder Woman, right?
Yeah.
Because it was a female lead, a female strong role. So now we're having, basically within this within a year, we have a female strong role, and now we have an all African American cast. That's mm-hmm. a strong show. There's no crackheads. There's no gangsters. These are. I mean, if you've seen the highlights and the clips and stuff like that, it's African royalty. They're all dressed to a certain way. They conduct themselves a certain way. They're warriors. They're leaders. And this bothers a lot of people.
And that's something
that, you know, we as a society and as a culture have to deal with, right?
Mm-hmm.
But to boycott this movie because he's not dating a black woman. I mean, come on, people. He's not mm-hmm. dating a black woman. Get over yourself. It's literally, it's 2018. And if color of skin is still a bigger issue than what I have on the inside, then, you know, honestly, I would tell you to reevaluate your life, because I don't care who this man dates. Is he going to portray the character well? Is he going to act well? Is he going to further advance this movie? Right? This is an all-black cast. This is something that's monumental. Right? If this movie flops, and let me tell you something, Village. I've already bought my tickets. I'm just letting y'all know.
Oh, really? They're already available?
They are already available. I have already bought my tickets.
Let's go together. Let's all go together.
Well, then you... Okay, we'll talk about that after. I will get with you.
Because I want to see this movie so bad. Okay. Okay, my baby wants to go too.
You're right. But okay, so we'll talk about that afterwards. I promise you. We will get into that.
Okay.
I'll give you a call after the show. But at the same time, what I'm saying is this is monumental. Like, if this movie flops, who knows what could happen? And this is on the heels of, we have a show called Black Lightning getting ready to drop on WB. Like, all this stuff ties in together, man. If this show flops, mm-hmm. and they're going to be like, oh, well, this TV show could flop now.
Yeah.
You know, so there's so much tied into this, and what I don't want is any negativity associated with this movie. So mm-hmm. for those of you that are worried about this black man dating a non-black woman, please miss me with this. That is not even an issue for me. So mm-hmm. that's all I have on that. Angie, you got anything else on this before we move on?
So that's the thing, is they predicted Black Panther to be like one of the biggest hits. Like, that's originally before this whole thing happened. I really do feel like they were finding ways to create controversy, you know, and that was the worst they could find. We're like, oh my God, he's not dating a black woman, so maybe this will piss the black community off and make them not want to, like, support mm-hmm. Their, you know, black celebrities. That's, you know, disheartening. But, I feel you. Like, I feel like they're, you know, just trying to create controversy. But like I said, I couldn't fucking care less anyways, because the whole... fucking Hollywood and all their fucking bullshit pisses mm-hmm. the fuck off, and I wish we can all, like, create our own independent shit.
You're right.
you know, mm-hmm. where that money is coming back and empowering the black community. I wish the money that they're fucking making could come back into the black community and empower them and fucking help, you know, those who are marginalized. That would be great. But where the fuck is this money going to? I don't know. Whatever. Fuck them.
And this is why we have Angie here, because she just says it like it is. And I love it. I love it. But like I said, Village, I'm gonna finalize it and close it with this. If you have an issue with Michael B. Jordan and who he dates, rather than anything else, if he was just a shitty person, then that's one yeah. thing. That's one thing. I don't know the guy. I've never met him.
Like, if he was beating women, I get it. Yes. Then yeah, like, let's boycott. If mm-hmm. he was raping women, yay, let's boycott. Like, he's dating a Latina woman.
That's it. That's it. That's it.
No, another nothing. Another marginalized group.
That was going to be my last point. It was another marginalized group.
I get it. I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt. I get it. I understand what, you know, like, the black women and how they've, you know, been pushed down to the bottom. And Latino women have been like, ooh, you know, like, overly sexualized. And I mean, so has black women. But I understand the division. But come on. Like, when do we fucking stop this shit?
Mm-hmm. Like, if black and brown just come together and just really talk it out.
Seriously.
Just talk it out.
I'm so fucking tired of this. This yeah. is happening within our own fucking community with the Latinos and the Afro-Latinos. And it's like, you know, like today when I was getting my census asked on fucking my, like, getting an appointment. They're like, you're Hispanic. What do you identify? White or black? I'm like, well, I will not ever identify as white. So, yes, I identify as black. But that's even up to debate for other people, you know? Like, this is just needs to fucking stop, you know? Mm-hmm.
Be who you are. Be a good person and keep mm-hmm. it pushing. Right?
Yeah.
There it is. Okay, let's move on to this next topic here. This next one that I want to talk about, Angie, here's the truth of the matter. This whole thing with Genuine, and you and I have talked offline. I've told you about situations that have happened to me. I'm going to say it like this. I am a proud ally of the LGBTQ community. I'm a proud ally. I've gone to Pride and had a great time. Being around gay, transgender, whatever, means nothing to me, right? Mm-hmm. You're just another human being, right? That's how I look at you. But the backlash that I seen because he did not want to kiss this woman is what blew me away. Now, it's his right to say if he wants to kiss anybody, right? Mm-hmm. If he says, I don't want to kiss her for whatever reason, that's his prerogative. That's mm-hmm. how I feel. That's honestly how I feel. Now, even though I am a proud LGBTQ supporter, you know, for me personally, dating someone who's transgender is not in my cards. That's not for me. But it's not saying that I can't love you as a person and treat you with respect, right? I'm going to be respectful. I'll treat you as a woman or as a man if you portray yourself as that. That's never going to be an issue with me, right? But I believe that I have the right as a heterosexual man to say if I want to date a person that is potentially transgender, if... And especially in regards to, Angie, give me a few minutes to cook here. Give me a few minutes to cook on this one. Especially if I'm a heterosexual man and I tell you, hey, I don't want to date somebody that may have a penis. Okay, fine. Mm-hmm. Well, now she's gone through the full surgery and now she has a vagina and so on and so forth, right? Mm-hmm. That's all fine and dandy, right? I try to look at things in the bigger, grander, grand scheme of things. But to me, his right is to say, I don't want to kiss this person. And I'm mm-hmm. fully okay and on board with that, right? And so, like I said, I looked at some of the arguments online, and I'm like, no. And I'm looking at people, and I'm like, damn. You know, so can we tell lesbians and gay people, hey, you have to date this person? Because you have to kiss them or date them because they're this person, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? And if Genuine is now transphobic because you're homosexual and you won't date the opposite sex, Does that make you heterophobic? No. Mm-hmm. It's a preference. It's that simple mm-hmm. to me. So I support him. If he says, this is where I'm at, this is my reason, my logic, whatever the case may be, I support him. Because guess what? Mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to date someone that possibly, okay, they're living a life as a woman, but they have the same genitalia as me. That is not for me. Mm-hmm. That simple. Angie, I'm going to throw it to you. What you got?
Yeah, so I was reading much different articles. A lot of it was like, it wasn't about him, like the kiss. Because mm-hmm. I even watched the video because she was just like hugging him. And then he, you know, I think she like puts a kiss and he's like playfully like no, 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 you know? Mm-hmm. And then I was reading that a lot of what I was reading was people were upset. And he said he would never date trans people. And, like, you know, pulling that off the cards or off the table, because a lot of trans people identify, like, look, I'm a female. What's so different from me if I'm a woman, you know? Mm-hmm. And I identify as a woman. So that was, like, a lot of the articles I read, I wasn't reading. It wasn't so much that they were saying that they were upset that he didn't kiss her. It was more because he said he wouldn't date a trans person. Mm-hmm. Now, just like you said, this is the same thing. All because you, like, that's what I was kind of having an issue with a little for a second, because I was just like, okay, I don't. So a man, like my partner, if he's, you know, even, I mean, Daniel's never said this though. Daniel's like, whatever, like, if I fall in love, I fall in love, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if someone says, like, no, I mean, okay, like, yeah, like you said about the, like, homosexuals. I don't know how many times gay men have said, ew, gross, vagina, like, to me. Does that mean, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, should I take a vap? You know what I'm saying? They say it all the time. A lot of my friends say that. Okay. Like, they're like, that is so gross. It's disgusting. It's like an open cavity. And, like, they're really fucked up and mean about it. Mm-hmm. So should I be like, oh, my God, you're so heterophobic. You fucking suck. Like, I hate you. You should, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. I don't fucking get it. Like, okay, you don't want to date a woman. You like men. Cool. Whatever. He doesn't want to date a trans, like, doesn't make him transphobic. He didn't say trans people shouldn't have rights. Mm-hmm. He didn't say, you know, trans people, you know, shouldn't be identified as a woman if they're not, like, he didn't say that. He just said, I wouldn't date a trans woman.
That's it.
Like, we need to fucking stop this. Homosexuals can say they don't fucking like heteros. They could call us breeders. They could do what the fuck they want. Like, okay, then we should be able to be like, I don't want to date. Like, you know, maybe like him to be open and be like, you know what? I don't know. Like, maybe that's the best answer he could have said. It was like, I don't know. I haven't had the opportunity to present myself where I've been drawn or attracted to a, you know, trans person, you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. maybe, I don't know. It's just, look, I'm just thinking of my experience, mm-hmm. you know, and how I hear my lesbian girlfriends talk shit about dicks and stuff, and gay men talk shit about vaginas, and, like, so us hetero people can't, I get it, because we have privileges, and, like, I don't even know why I'm saying I, like, I don't even know where I fit in the boat and all of this, but people who identify as hetero, like, yeah, I get it that they have, you know, more privileges than LGBTQ, but that doesn't make it okay that you could talk shit on us, mm-hmm. and we can't really say our stuff. Like, I'm just fucking tired of this shit.
You know, I am too. I'm tired of that argument.
I'm just getting fucking tired of everyone's shit.
Like, this is where my liberalism goes out the window. Because I'm mm-hmm. like, look, I am an ally. I will support you. If I saw a transgender or a lesbian or a gay, bi, whatever, getting picked on, guess what? I got your back, right? But just because I got your back, right? And if I say I don't want to date a transgender woman, that doesn't mm-hmm. make me transphobic. Mm-hmm. It doesn't. I can't co-sign something just because society is trying to say, oh, I have to do this because they identify as a woman. That's not in my wheelhouse. I'm sorry. Especially if you still have a penis, mm-hmm. right? I got into an argument with someone about this. Oh, well, they identify as a woman, so they should be treated as a woman. Genitalia shouldn't matter. No, the fuck? Are you fucking kidding me? I'm sorry. I'm a heterosexual man. I like vagina. If I like penis, I would be okay. Like, she's a transgender woman. Cool. She still has her penis. Whatever. But what I am simply saying is, it's not okay to try to dictate to people who they're supposed to date, how they're supposed to love, how they're supposed to feel about things. With me, like I said, I'm going to support you. I'll fucking ride for you. Gay, lesbian, transgender, whatever. Just, you cannot force me to, you can't force me into saying, I'm going to date you for whatever reason, or I'm not going to date you. That's what one of my issues is. If you don't, if you feel like I am being phobic because of my preference, so be it. Then I guess I'm transphobic. Wow. But I am not going to sit here and try to justify and validate why I feel a certain way, and then you get all upset. It's just not.
It's like saying a gay man is sexist, or like, because he doesn't want to date a woman. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you know, or like, no, he's not into women. That doesn't make him a horrible person. Mm-hmm. Like, you know.
And let's take it a step further, Angie. In my past, I've had women literally tell me, oh, I'm just not into black men. I said, okay, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, did I get upset? No, I didn't get upset. Mm-hmm. I just said, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, they were still people that I would talk to on a regular basis. It wasn't a big deal for me, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there are women that just don't like black men. Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
I don't take offense. It is what it is. It's life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so with this movement, the LGBTQ community movement getting bigger and bigger and bigger, all I'm simply saying is, if you feel a certain way about those that are heterosexual not wanting to date you because of this, that, and the third, don't get upset. Mm-hmm. As long as they're willing to have your back, move forward. Keep it pushing. And be thankful that they are willing, they want to have your back.
And I get it. Like, especially if you know, let's say if you did have the surgery,
mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I think my thing is, personally, like, I don't know. I think that's, like, where people are having issues because they think they're being fooled. But, I mean, it's the same thing, like, maybe hermaphrodites, like, people who are born with, like, you know, both genitalias. Like, they're not being deceptive. That was, like, both what, you know, and whatever they chose, they chose. Like, mm-hmm. that's, so should they have to tell everybody they've been with that they were hermaphroditic? Like,
you know,
like, should they, like, I think, is that fair?
This is what I will say. I think you need, if you're going to be intimate with someone, I think you, just like STD conversation.
But it's not an STD.
No. It's not an STD. But what I'm saying is, you still need to have the conversation. You still,
I was born with two genitalias and this is the one I picked.
I think you need to have the conversation. I think the talk needs to be had. Because to me, if you don't tell me from the long run, that's lying in itself.
So should women and men start to tell each other the surgeries they've had? Like, I got a breast augmentation, or I got a breast reduction, or I got a nose job, or I got a chin. You know what I'm saying? Like
that's I get your effective. Point. I get your point. I do get your point on that. Because that can be considered a form of deception, right?
But a guy sued his wife because he said his children came out ugly because she didn't tell him that she had a surgery done.
Yeah, I saw that. It was a story out of China. Yeah, we did. Mm-hmm. We covered that story a while ago. But I don't know, man. Like, I just tell me the truth. Let me know what the deal is. Just let me know.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, should we have to tell everyone? I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, why shouldn't anyone have to disclose their, like, cosmetic surgeries?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why should they have to, like, explain to the person, like, look, I was born with male genitalia, but that's not how I identified, and I went through, because that will, like, you know, I don't know. I mean, I guess if you want an honest relationship, but I think that's what causes the problem, because there's such a bad stigma that you can lose. I don't know.
But you know what, though? Like, but you know, like, Angie, the truth of the matter is, Angie, there are going to be plenty of people in this day and age that, number one, you have, what is it called, pansexuality, where they just don't care what your gender is. They are attracted to the soul, the person, so they don't care. There are plenty of people that are pansexual. There are also plenty of men, right, heterosexual men, that will literally, if you disclose it to them, and they'll say, okay, well, you know, you were this, and now you're that, okay. You know, you're a woman. Granted, you're not able, like some people will argue, well, they still can't reproduce. Well, so what? There are plenty mm-hmm. of women that were born women that can't reproduce. So that argument's mm-hmm. null and void to me, right? But like I said, there are plenty of men that are going to be like, yeah, I'm okay with it. But I think mm-hmm. I think you just need to have the conversation. I think you just need to talk it out.
Well, that's true. So now everyone, if you've had a cosmetic surgery, you better tell them.
Not okay. See, I think you're taking me out of context, and that's okay.
No, I'm telling you. No, I'm not. I think you should. Okay. I'm just saying.
I can't argue with that, because it's a double-edged sword. Because I'm mm-hmm. saying, because they're both cosmetic surgeries. It's to get rid of something or add something, whatever the case may be. Right.
Mm-hmm.
They're both surgeries. But at the same, and I get what you're saying as far as breast augmentation, nose job, surgery mm-hmm. is a surgery.
Mm-hmm.
So I really, you know what? I think it just depends on the person. I really do. I really yeah. think it depends on the person. But for me, like I said, with the root story, I'm not mad at Genuine for.
I'm not mad at Genuine at all because that's not.
You know, I don't think he's transphobic. I think he was simply saying, hey, man, I'm good. Like, thanks, but mm-hmm. no thank you. And he didn't hop on Twitter and rant about, you know, this tranny tried to do this to me and this, that.
Yeah.
No, he just, it was done. He left it alone. I think Twitter made a bigger deal about it than what, than anyone mm-hmm. else. You know what I mean? Like, I followed the, you know, the stuff on Twitter and a few different social sites and stuff like that. And I was like, okay, this is retarded. I'm sorry, not retarded. This is just absolutely stupid. Forgive me, Bill, not retarded. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's what I got.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm the same way. Like, of course, yeah, of course you could have responded like a little bit better, I guess, whatever. But I mm-hmm. think we just need to like stop, because that's, we can go on forever about how heterophobic, you know, the homosexual community could be towards us, you yeah. know, like that's yeah. just stupid.
Yeah. Like there's a lot of argument there, right? There's a lot of arguments. All right. Let's move on to this next topic here. Next topic. Trying to get these links up and whatnot. Next topic here. Let's talk about this H&M ad.
Oh God!
That was. I mean, they've already. The updates that I've seen is that they've actually already pulled the clothing, and they're moving forward with removing. They've issued apologies and things of that nature. But for me, I'm simply just like, so this went to human resources. I mean, this was first of all, it was designed, right? But the design itself to me wasn't the issue. That wasn't mm-hmm. the issue. You know, my oldest son, you know, we call him Chunky Monkey, right? That's what we call him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not the design. I think when they place the black child in this sweatshirt, now we have an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Now it becomes more of an issue. The design of the design of the sweatshirt wasn't the issue, but it was the way that it was presented is what people took offense to, right?
Yeah.
And so that was what I took from that. It wasn't so much the sweatshirt; it was the way it was presented. So
yeah, exactly.
So I'll throw it to you.
Like, come on. You know the fucking history
mm-hmm.
of stereotypes. Like, we all know that, like, black people have been referenced as monkeys forever. And so you're going to put the black kid in this green hoodie, like, in a hoodie, and says, coolest monkey in the jungle, but you're going to have the white kid saying that he survived the jungle, like a survival expert.
I was going to talk
and another
about that
kid
too.
In a random animal, like, you couldn't fucking just swap it.
Yeah. Like this the person that took the photo should have been like, hey, I don't think this is gonna work.
Like
when it went to the print people, I'm sure they should have been like, hey, y'all need to reevaluate this one.
You know this is very problematic, right? And then fucking Rachel Dolezal, that bitch, like, then makes a hoodie and says, coolest prince in the hood.
Yeah. I got that story this morning. I saw that story this morning.
This bitch. And it's supporting my three princes. I'm like, you know what? We need to stop. Like, you need to stop.
Yeah. She kind of killed me with that. I was like, okay. Like this. That's one person you probably could just kind of fade away, and nobody would really miss you.
I know. Like she made her own calendar and shit. That's women's.
I haven't seen the calendar. I haven't seen the calendar yet. I'm about to go Google that. I haven't seen it. I'm about to totally go Google that. But yeah, so at the end of the day, you know, it got past all the right people. You know, this picture got past all the right people.
So you're telling me there's no black people there? No black people. Like, this is an issue. Like, have you seen Master of None?
No, I have not.
Well, there's a scene where there's a black, it's like an Aunt Jemima cookie jar, and he's like hooking up with this girl, white girl. And he, like, gets up from having sex, and he's like, what's up with your cookie jar? And she's all like, what? My friends got it for me. He's like, you don't got any black friends? Like, no one's told you that this is
wrong. This is wrong? Hey, this is wrong? You probably shouldn't have this.
Like, you shouldn't have this? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Like I said, this... the shirt, to me, the sweatshirt is cute. It's a kid's sweatshirt. It's not so much the sweatshirt. It's just the way that it was presented. Am I boycotting H&M? I don't wear their clothing anyway. I'm too fluffy for that. Let's just be honest. It's like they have what I like to call fuckboy sizes, like the skinny jeans and stuff like that. I don't wear stuff like that.
Oh, to all the fuckboys listening, hey.
Hey, I just can't, I can't get with their clothing regardless. So, you know, for those of you that are
and little slave babies, like, make them, so don't buy from H&M, people.
Yeah, that too. All right, Angie, so I don't have too much else on that. I just want to let people know, look, you can be outraged. You can say whatever you want, but just think about this. The sweatshirt itself, to me, wasn't the issue. It's just the presentation of it. If they pull the sweatshirt and you want to let your kids wear this stuff, then so be it. Just, you know, write a letter. Hey, be smarter about your decision. Because that wasn't a very good decision.
Yeah. It's just the history of it. I think that's the issue. I was like, racism is still prevalent, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, this is still an issue. So these topics cannot be lightly. Like, this is not the time. We're in a very sensitive time right now. And this is why it's been so divisive within a lot of communities. Because there's just so many things that we're like, okay, that wasn't cool. Some people are like, oh, you're being too sensitive. It's like, well, this is the reason why. And this is like, this is how it just gets overwhelming.
Exactly.
You know,
and we definitely are, because, like you said, we're in a sensitive time right now because, you know, there's, you know, racial issues have be kind of stepped back into the forefront. Let's be honest here. You know,
that's what I'm saying. Like, even the situations and topics we're talking about today, you know, just like the transphobic thing, you know, to other people, like, that's transphobic what he did. And stuff like, oh, well, I don't think it was so much transphobic because of, you know what I'm saying? Like, these are the conversations. The same thing with the, we haven't talked about the other issue. Forget it. We'll go that in a second. But that Michael Jordan,
B. Jordan, yeah.
B. Jordan, like, you know, dating the Latino stuff. A lot of people think that's problematic. You know, like I'm saying, like, this is so many, like, whatever, damned if you do, damned if you don't. Like,
that's it.
It's just everyone's going to, like, have their perspective in a certain way, and that's what's dividing us. And because it's like, we can't come to an agreement that, like, no, this isn't okay because of this. but this is, you know, this is understandable because of the, you know, like, you're just in a hot zone, whatever you say.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Everything is hot. You know, you kind of really have to pick and choose your words, and you kind of have to go from there, because it's a big issue across the board. So, like you said, damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's move on here to this next topic. So let's go ahead and jump into this. Ohio basketball team kicked out of youth league for racist jerseys, and I'm gonna put this up for you guys, Village, so you guys can see the jerseys and you guys can see what we're talking about, so we're not blowing smoke up you guys' ass. When I this came across, I follow this website, and I was kind of like, this has to be like a skit or something. Like I was like, this is not serious, Angie, and I'm dead ass on this one, babe.
Mm-hmm.
I just was like, what the fuck? What are you thinking?
Mm-hmm.
What are you thinking? And it wasn't like it wasn't up super upset. I just was like, this is stupid. Why would you Why would you do this? So I'm gonna screen share with you guys so you guys can see what we're talking about here. Give me a second here, putting this link up for everybody to see. Okay, so there it is. This is at a Ohio basketball team kicked out of youth league for racist jerseys. This is some of the jerseys right here. The on front of the jersey says the Wet Dream Team. This one says Coon. This one says Negro, and it's spelled K-N-E-E-G-R-O-W. Negro. Right? So let's read a little bit of this here. The audience at a recent youth basketball league game in Ohio was recently greeted by jerseys featuring racist language, as Cincinnati Inquirer reports. A team of 7th to 12th grade boys from Kings High arrived on the court wearing jerseys that said Wet Dream Team across the front. On the back of each jersey, where a player's name usually goes, were racist slurs. For example, one boy's jersey read Coon, another Negro. The Kings boys began playing their opponents, boys from West Claremont High School. In the stands, parents and fans started to talk, but not about the game. West Claremont parent Tony Rue told the Inquirer, "It was so blatant that it had to be fake. Sadly, it wasn't." Rue took pictures of the jerseys and posted them to Facebook, along with the caption that expressed his anger about the uniforms. I mean, this, you know, I could read more and more about this article here. I don't even know what to say about stuff like this. Like, what do you say about that, Angie? That's insane. That's absolutely insane.
Yeah, and it went on for 4 weeks, right? They were, like, playing like this, mm-hmm. and no one said anything. Like, what the fuck is wrong with people?
This is absolutely insane to me. You know, this isn't funny. It's not cute. It's not anything. This is actually a tragic story because, again, this had to go, these jerseys, right? They got to go to everybody to get signed off on. You know what I mean? This has to go to, like, to your principal, mm-hmm. your athletic director, stuff like that. And they all assumed that this was O-damn-K.
Yeah.
To have Wet Dream Team across the front, Coon, Negro, and other racial slurs on the back of the jersey.
Yeah.
So, Angie, I'm gonna give it to you, honey. What you got on this one? Because
I have nothing on this because, I mean, this is just, I can't, like, that, yeah. And then one of the kids, the guy, the Coon, said, because his name is spelled K-U-H-N,
mm-hmm.
he said, "Oh, it's a fun way of saying Coon, like my name,"
mm-hmm.
you know? I said, "Okay, but what about Negro?" Mm-hmm. I know that motherfucker's last name is not Negro.
No, no.
So, like, stop. Like, stop fucking playing, you know?
Yeah. Stop the game.
So.
Stop the game.
Yeah, stop your shit. But, yeah, there's nothing else more I have to say because it's just ridiculous. I mean, mm-hmm. there's nothing more. There's nothing.
There's nothing like that can truly be said.
There's nothing.
This.
There's nothing to be said.
Mm-hmm.
But I am reading over here about the trending right now. Mother of H&M hoodie model responds to backlash. Tell us to get over it.
Yep, sell your son. Just sell your son out for that check, huh?
Yeah, do it, girl.
Sell your son out for that check, baby. I ain't mad at you. Sell that baby out. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something else that we should have questioned, too. like, yo mama, your black mama was there, and she just was like,
she didn't care, I guess.
She didn't kind of raise her eyebrows a little bit during this shoot, but hey, I guess not. All right, we're going to go ahead and stop sharing that and bring us back here. There we go. All right. So, yeah, there's nothing more to be said about that.
Yeah.
Just idiots, and we'll leave it at that.
Yeah. So
let's move on here to this this next topic here. Okay, so the, I'm not really sure who this young lady is, but her name is Kat Black. And she called out YouTube for removing her video about the hypersexualization of black women. Apparently, she received some kind of notice from YouTube in regards to her video. And I saw bits and pieces of the video. But I think the bigger issue is why can't we talk about the hypersexualization of black women? Right?
Yeah.
Because if we look at black women as a whole, and let's be, like I said, I'm looking at this Black Panther movie and I'm like, they are all dressed like queens. So I'm super excited about this. But if you look at black women as a whole in majority of the TV shows, one, they're angry. Two, they're over-sexualized. Or it's just not shown. Right? The other side is not shown. So you really only have the two pieces. You have the loudmouth black woman, which is not even the case for the vast majority of black women or Latino women for that matter, right? Or they're hypersexualized, and that's all, and that's industry, like music, rap, all that stuff. Black women are sexualized, right?
Yeah.
But to me, is her video is simply saying this is what goes on in our community. Or what's going on? Why can't we talk about this?
Yeah,
and that's what I think this is really about. We can't have a conversation. You feel like you have to pull my video for whatever your reason or your logic is because of what we're having. This is a conversation that needs to be had. So that's what I that's what I took from that. What did you get out of that?
So yeah, of course, I thought it was interesting that it was an error that they took down that video. And, you know, it's important that people do understand that these stereotypes of the Jezebel or the Sapphire, the freaking Mammy, or, like, there's like several stereotypes. I think I just got the other one wrong. But anyways, yeah, we need to talk about Sarah Brightman, who, if a lot of people don't know, she is this really, like, beautiful, big, voluptuous black woman they found in Africa that they made her, like, into a freak show in the 1800s. And, you know, they just, like, you know, poor woman died of, like, I guess STDs because all the men who were, like, hyperly sexualizing her. She is kindly anyway, so she just had like a really, you know, big like ass. And so she was talking about this hypersexualization on her video. So yeah, like we need to bring awareness of how they've depicted Latina and black women, you know, hypersexualizing us. I think, you know, and this is what, you know, makes, you know, frustrates me about stereotypes is because unfortunately, like, we're afraid to be the stereotype, even if that's naturally us. Like, so now it's like, okay, these women are these stereotypes, but there's some women who are this, like, who want to be, like, highly sexualized. Like, you know, there's women who want to be sex workers and strippers and, you know, dress a certain way. And, because they like to be like that, and that, there's nothing wrong with that. So I think I'm just jumping off a little bit because I feel like I need to say this. But so let them be that. They want to be that. Let a fucking woman be whatever if you think she's being hypersexualized. So,
okay.
Again, this is a thin line because, I mean, this even like connects back to the little boy wearing his little, you know, monkey in the jungle shirt where the mom was like, look, it's not even a big fucking deal. You're making it a big deal. This is not a big deal. I think that's the same thing with like some women who are sexualized, like who are comfortable with their sexuality, the way they dress. Like, come on. So what? So they make us look like we're like hypersexualized. You know, I'm a woman who sells my body or work at a stripper. There's nothing wrong with that. So I think it's just the dangers of stereotyping. I think that's what I'm saying. We're in a time right now where we're trying to break away and let people just be who they are without being identified. Like, oh, black women are this. All Latino women are this. Like, you know, mm-hmm. I think we're trying to move away from that. But I feel bad for the women who do identify with those stereotypes and are like, but this is who I am. So does that make me bad? You know? Mm-hmm. Like, so I guess I'm the Jezebel. Should you not respect me because I'm what the, you know, movies train me as, even though that doesn't make me a horrible person. Like, mm-hmm. I am a person with valid feelings and valid emotions. And yeah, you still fucking rape me, even though I'm a sex worker. Like, there is a thing that you can still, like, there is rape in the sex working world. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Like, what I'm trying to get to is this is the danger of what's going on right now. We're changing as a society, and it's like feminism, like now, like feminism, the same thing with feminism. You know, you're having a division in feminism because some feminists are like, that's, you know, you shouldn't be exposing your body like that, or you shouldn't be doing this. And then there's other feminists like, bitch, like, feminism means I could do the fuck I want. Like, I don't represent all women. I represent me. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I think what I'm trying to say is, like, how can we speak in a way that is just us? Like, it's like, I don't affect, my behavior should not affect other Puerto Ricans. The way I am should not represent others. So, one, I think it sucks that YouTube pulled that video off. Yes, you need to know the history of hypersexualization. Two, if a woman wants to be hypersexualized, let her fucking be. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I just feel like I feel like I have to, like, be clear with a lot of things. Even with the transphobic thing with anyone, like, you know, like, yeah, I wish that, you know, he wasn't so quick to say he wouldn't, like, date a trans woman because he doesn't, like, that's just assuming, like, oh, you know. But there's layers to that as well. So, yeah, there's always going to be, like, layers within these issues. That's what I'm trying to say. There's layers with all of these issues. We're trying to see it black and white, and it's not that fucking easy. Mm-mm. Nothing is black and white. And that is why I have issues with news, the issues with podcasts like these, like our podcast is like, we try to compartmentalize, and you can't. Like, medical does that. Like, oh, you have a kidney issue, and that's all we're focusing on. Like, no, the reason why your kidney is out of whack is because maybe this part of your body is also out of whack. And this, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's other, you're not, it's, you can't just take the body apart like that. It all works together. That's the same thing with these issues. We can't just take this issue and look at it like this. We can't. And that's why it's not easy to do these shows and, like, oh, this is the issue and let's talk about it. We can't. And that's why it sounds like we're going off on a rant, but it's not. Mm-hmm. Because you can't see these issues as just this issue. No, there's more. There's layers to this. It's not just this. And so that's why I can't just say these black and white answers. I can't. Like, I feel like I have to say more.
Mm-hmm. And that's okay. Look, we take it and we run with it and we have the conversation. Mm-hmm. The conversation doesn't have to stay on this one piece or this mm-hmm. one facet. We have to discuss everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just it.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. I just hope and I wish for the future that these conversations, like, for the world, and this is why the news is so dangerous, because I think they just try to see it from a look like this. And it's not like this. It's everything. So village people, like, anyone who's listening, understand that, you know, we're just trying to do a show within, like, an hour and a half or 2 hours. Mm-hmm. But, like, do the research yourself and look at the layers of these issues, because I'm not going to be able to cover it in all one.
Yeah.
Like, there's history of hypersexualization. Yes, that's an issue. But also, too, I need to reinstate and say women can do whatever the fuck they want. They want to be hypersexual. They want to be like that. Let them. That's it. You want to slut shame them? You're an asshole. Bye. Then.
There it is. Flip, toss your hair. Go ahead, girl. Mm-hmm. I'm not mad. All right, let's move on. I got nothing else to say about that. Let's move on to this next topic here. Okay, so let's do, I have one story I want to do for Knee Jerk Reaction. One story. This is something that I came across personally, and I want to present it to you. We all have Netflix, Hulu, all that stuff, right? I was on Netflix about 2-3 weeks ago, and I watched a documentary called After Porn Ends on Netflix.
Right? I think I saw that.
Mm-hmm. There was a part two. There was a part two. They did a second one. Yeah, I watched the second one. And one of the things that, I'm hoping I'm going to try and paraphrase this woman correctly. This woman literally made the statement, you know, as far as telling other porn stars and giving them advice, like, it's better to do anal before you do interracial. You know, like she said, like she literally, she kind of said along the lines of interracial beat should be towards the end of your career. Like you don't want to do interracial early. And I was like, wow, like,
damn,
there's bigotry, racism everywhere, right? But in your porn, in your porn, it's like, damn, you know, it sucks, right? And it didn't necessarily. It didn't hurt me that she said that. I just was like, wow, like how many of them have actually followed that model? You know what I mean? Because if you think about it, the person that told her, you know, someone told her, and they probably shared this information with how many other girls that are in this industry?
Wow.
You know what I mean? So it's kind of a domino effect. So with that logic or mentality, Angie, what do you have? Like, what can you say to that? Like,
this world is so fucked up and disgusting. Like, you know, I've had a horrible experiences where men have like straight up told me, like, if you fucked a black guy, I wouldn't fuck you. And I'm like, first of all, do you know how it was created? Like, there was black people who fucked another black person and I'm an ancestor. Like, that is my ancestors, you dumb fuck. Like, are you that stupid? Like, you are still fucking a black person. Like, I just so happen to have Italian and Greek and, like, Native American and, like, British and Jewish. Whatever, I have a lot of shit in me.
Yeah.
So, there's no room to be racist when you're fucking me. Like, because you're fucking all of that. Anyways, like, I don't comprehend. Like, that's, wow. People are sick. I don't understand how this became so,
Yeah. That's, wow. It's not hard to swallow, but I was just like, for real?
I just didn't think, I never thought about that in the porn.
Me either. That's not something, it's porn. Like, you're having sex on camera. Do whatever. Who cares, right? But I guess in that industry, there are still, it still has his racist hangups. You know what I mean? Like, that's wild. You know, and then another part of the documentary, there was, I can't remember the guy's name. He was an African-American porn star back in the 70s and I want to say the 80s. I'm thinking mostly like 70s. He did his scenes with, you know, with white women, and he says they went through it as well. You know, you're talking about the 70s. So that was a major no-no.
So, they got like in trouble for having sex with a black man.
Mm-hmm.
They got shit for having sex with a black man.
Yeah.
It's called, like, emasculating, you know? Like, black men are sexy, and people just feel, like, a little insecure because they just can't keep up. Oh, my God. I'm
just kidding. We are not doing this. We are not doing this today. We are not with you. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Goodness gracious. But yeah, so it's just, you know, it's just something that I thought about and I was like, wow, that's just something.
That's crazy. I never thought of that.
Yeah. This is something to be, I guess, leery of, and, something you need to worry about. I mean, well, not worry about per se, cause I'm never going to do porn, but I'm just saying, like,
I was trying to sneeze and you made me laugh. What? You're not gonna do porn?
No, okay. No. Trying to set
Are you listening to porn right now?
No. I'm trying to set this this first village idiot up, and that's all. But yeah, that's all I got on that, Angie. You got anything else before we move on?
Get these no, I just like wow.
Yeah, that's definitely a tough one.
Like, I'm just trying to what was the issue? Was it because, you hooked up with someone outside of your race, no one else wants to fuck you afterwards, or the viewers found out you had sex with someone else outside the race, and now they don't want to watch you?
So
what was the issue?
Well, like I said, I watched the documentary, and she kind of broke it down like that, and so I kind of hopped on the Google machine, and I found some videos and clips where current actresses are literally they were dogged on really bad by their fans because they mess with black dudes. Right? They were dogged on. Wow. And there are some actresses that specifically will only do interracial scenes only because it pays more money, they say. You know, it's almost, it's a fetish. Porn it's in itself, in some ways, is really just a big fetish game, if you think about it.
Yeah. Because,
what you're not into, this other person could be into. Right? You're not talking about the sex itself. It's how the sex is going down, whips, all kinds of stuff. Who cares? Whatever.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, that's, so I went and looked all that stuff up, and I was like, wow, just the number of women that are mistreated because they choose to engage in a scene with a person of color. I just was like, wow. Just something to think about, and I was just like, that's where it's at, nothing further that I have to say about that. But I would encourage you, Angie, to go and look some stuff up, or check that documentary out.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. I didn't even...
And I sat and watched it on, my phone one night. I was sitting at the house, and I was like, oh, what's this? And I just checked it out. So, that's all. I was sitting on phone. My sons were watching TV. I didn't want to watch Naruto or whatever the hell they were watching. I watched that. All right, Village. So let's do, I got two, maybe three Village idiots, and then we'll call it a night here. Here, let me...
Did I mute myself?
No, I hear you.
Okay,
so let's go ahead and jump onto this first Village idiot here. This first Village idiot, Buffalo Bills fan, sets himself on fire by jumping through a table at a game. Yeah, I got video of that too. So let's go ahead and play this here and enjoy.
I don't see it. You don't see it.
You don't see it? All right, hold on for a second.
I love you.
All right, so let me try to see if I can get this thing to share. One more time, Village. Hold on here. Okay, not sure what that means. I got some kind of notification that hopped up on my screen. Okay, so screen share. Boom, boom, share. All right, let's see. Nope, it's not coming up. Don't know why. That's weird. That's weird, weird, weird. Oh, well, maybe that one's not going to, maybe it won't play.
Good, because I don't like seeing that shit.
You don't like seeing what?
People getting hurt.
Oh, I don't know if he got hurt, but hell, it was funny as shit. I know that much. It was funny.
Actually, that's not true. I do like seeing people get hurt. I just figured this out, but not all the time. That's another layered conversation.
You have standards. You have standards. And people get it. It's okay, sis. You got standards for when laughing at people.
I do have standards of how people are getting hurt.
Yeah, so this thing won't share. So, hey, it is what it is. So I'll have to put that on the Village Facebook page so you guys can check that out. So next Village idiot, and I don't even know why this thing is not actually showing... the stories, because I'm just like, hey, whatever. It is what it is. Okay, so this is something that I saw this story, and it's not funny. I just found this story and I was like, what? So a pastor admitted a past sexual incident with a teen, saying he was deeply sorry. His congregation gave him a standing ovation. I was a little bit dumbfounded by that one, right? I was a little dumbfounded. I'm like, church, somebody should have said, hey, man, you shouldn't have did that. But he received a standing ovation. I don't know who's the bigger, I don't know who to really refer to as the village idiot on this one.
You know, what did he apologize for?
Okay, you know what? Let me go ahead and share with you guys. Let me see if I can get this one to share. Because I'm struggling to even get this one to share, and I don't even know why. It's just not playing. No, it just won't share tonight, and that's okay. Maybe we won't do any village idiot tonight. No big deal. No big deal.
But what was it?
You want me to read some of the article?
Yeah, like what was he apologizing for?
Okay, so the article, a pastor admitted a past sexual incident with a teen, saying he was deeply sorry. His congregation gave him a standing ovation. On December 1st, as headlines across the country blared with news about Matt Lauer's surprise firing from the Today Show for sexual misconduct, a woman named Jules Woodson tapped out a short email. It ran only about 80 words, but was nearly 20 years in the making. Do you remember, the subject line read, do you remember that night that you were supposed to drive me home from church and instead drove me to a deserted back road and sexually assaulted me, Woodson wrote. Do you remember how you acted like you loved me and cared about me in order for me to cooperate in such acts, only to run out of the vehicle later and fall to your knees begging for forgiveness and for me not to tell anyone what just happened? She closed with three words and a hashtag. Well, I remember. The email said, hashtag me too. The message landed in the inbox of Andy Savage, a pastor at High Point Church, an evangelical Memphis mega congregation that draws more than 2,000 worshipers. The 42-year-old checked all the right boxes for a rising minister, biblically trained, handsome, and CrossFit cut. An attractive wife and five young sons, social media savvy and unafraid of speaking on topics such as sex. Savage's career had begun as a college student, working at a church outside Houston, a congregation Woodson attended as a high school student. So I don't know how to fully take that, what he did, right? Because if he would have been a more famous pastor in this, he could have been this would have been way bigger, right? But I found this on some random website, because I like to look for crazy stories. So I found this on like this random website, and I don't really know to identify as a village idiot, you know,
the people like, following him,
that's what I want to say, because I was thinking about the whole Roy Moore incident. All these people, it's like, oh, he's innocent. And I actually watched an interview on CNN, and a guy was just like, you know, back in those days, it was nothing for a 30-year-old guy to date a 16-year-old girl. And I'm just like, what the hell is wrong with these people? But that was, I guess, the thought process for that particular thing. So it is what it is.
Wow.
But I say all that to say, I don't know who the village idiot is. You're saying it's potentially the people that are following him. I get why you would say that, because I'm just like, come on, y'all. You know, this happened. Like, all those people that are saying hashtag me too, and if you're cheering for this man or clapping for him, then so be it. So, Angie, I have nothing.
Wow.
I have nothing else tonight. Tell the people how they get a hold of you, my dear.
Dancing Aurora, DancingAurora at live.com, or Google+ at Angelana Marie. That's it.
All right. If you want to get a hold of me, I am at Enlighten My Mind. I also handle the Village Twitter handle at W2TheVillage. No Slink tonight, but if you want to follow Slink, he's at Slink Grindstone. He's working on some recordings tonight, so he couldn't make it. The show can be heard through Stitcher Radio, iTunes, Podomatic, and Tumblr and also Google Play. Check us out on Google Play. Search Welcome to the Village. We're there. The Crowdcast replays can be seen on the Welcome to the Village YouTube channel, on Tumblr, and Google Plus by searching Welcome to the Village. If you want to get a hold of us, 619-202-1562. You can email us at welcometothevillage@gmail.com. Website's under construction. welcometothevillage@wixsite.com/website. If you simply subscribe to our show on Crowdcast, you'll get notifications when we're going to go live. You guys can join in, say what you got to say. And shout out to Dan for joining us. Appreciate you, bro. Advertisements and promotional opportunities are available through Fiverr. Forgive me, tongue-tied. And the Etsy page is still there. Just go to Etsy and type in W2TV, and we'll come up. Okay? So, Village, as the saying goes, Angie, thank you for joining me. Appreciate you so much. And I am currently about to hang up with you because I have homework. Because I have a business coach.
Oh, yeah.
And a mentor, and I have to get my homework done because, you know, the village is not going to get big off of just me just doing this podcast. I got to do the business side as well. So I'm about to hang up here, and I'm about to go hop on it. So, Village.
Okay, lad.
So, Village, as the saying goes, we love you. We thank you. God bless you. Have a great night. And, Angie, I'll give you a call in a little bit, okay, about the movie.
Okay, love.
All right, guys. Bye. Have a good night. Bye, everybody.